So as I said earlier, 2,000 years ago, no internet, no Instagram, no all those things that we use today to communicate to the entire world. So what are you going to do? Well, Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims its builder's craft. There is no word or sound, no voice is heard. Yet their report goes forth from all the earth, their message to the ends of the world." Well, like the internet, the sky is free. Everybody has access to the sky. So God spoke to the people at that time through the sky, particularly the Magi, who were not covenantal people. Well, let's take a look at what God said to them. The ancients had a very intimate knowledge of the stars. They had to. They had no GPS. So when you were traveling, you'd use the sun and the moon and the north stars and all those things to let you know which way you are going. They didn't have the farmer's almanac. So they used, again, the stars and the planets. Okay, time to plant. Okay, time to harvest. The ancients also knew about the astrological signs. In the book of Job, written 700 years before Christ, Job says of God in 9:9, "He made the bear and the Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations of the south." So the ancients were astronomers because they needed it for everyday assistance in their lives. But please keep in mind the ancients were not astrologers who thought that the heavenly bodies would have some power over them. So what was the star and its particular message? To answer these, we got to go back 400 years or so, and we have to bring Johannes Kepler into the scene. Johannes Kepler was a mathematician and an astronomer, and he gave us or started us with the knowledge of how to determine where the heavenly bodies would be or where they could be due to his three laws of planetary motion. Over the years, we've tweaked them, but he's the one who starts saying, here's how we can calculate the movement of the heavenly bodies. In 1946, Alan Turing starts the computer age, and eventually software will come. And today, you can get software on your computers at home that'll allow you to track where the stars will be 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now. But you can also go say, where were they 100 years from before, or even 2,000 years before, when the Magi would be looking up into the skies? By doing that, the heavens will declare the glory of God and proclaim the builder's craft. Now, today's gospel gives us 9 details about the star that the Magi were looking at. It signified a birth and a kingship. It had a connection with the Jewish nation. It rose in the east. It appeared at a precise time. Herod didn't know when it appeared. It endured over time. And it went ahead of the Magi as they went south from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And then it parks right over Bethlehem for a time. So 9 of these criteria are kind of self-evident in the text, but some of them we have to go back and really unpack to see. So using modern astronomical software, we can identify what this star is. The star is Jupiter. You might think, Father Jerome, Jupiter's not a star. Well, that's true. But Pluto was once a planet, and I have a movement going on to bring Pluto back. So there's a petition after Mass, sign up, and let's get Pluto the right recognition it deserves. So we can see planets come and go. When the ancients looked up into the sky, they said there are certain stars that move. They're wandering stars. They didn't understand planets just yet. And Jupiter, as it moves, has a very intriguing story to tell the Magi and us as we look into the heavens. Jupiter, because of his size, is known as the king planet, Christ the King. Starting in September of 3 BC, at the time of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, the Magi would see Jupiter coming into very close proximity with another star, Regulus. Regulus gets its name from the Latin root rex, which means king. So we have the king planet and the king star coming into very close proximity together at the beginning of the Jewish New Year. This was not very uncommon, but it'd be kind of cool. So if you're looking into stars, like, hey, check that out. That's kind of cool. All right, get back to work, right? Okay. But the planets from time to time will go into what's called retrograde motion. Makes it look like they go backwards. Well, let me give a concrete example of retrograde motion. Let's say after Mass, you're driving on military, you're doing the speed limit, whatever it is, 25, 35, and I come flying past you at like 55 miles an hour. When I look in my rearview mirror, you appear to be going backwards because I'm going a lot faster than you. In my rearview mirror, you're going backwards and smaller. So it looks like you're not even moving or going backwards. Well, the same thing can happen when we look at the heavenly bodies because we're all kind of moving around. It can appear as if they do some pretty funky things. So after the first Jupiter-Regulus encounter, Jupiter will retrograde and go back around Regulus, not once, but twice. That would be a celestial hat trick. That, the Magi would think, is really cool. They'd be like, hey, did you see that? Look at what's going on in the stars. Now, the Jewish prophecy states that it'll come from the tribe of Judah. And the sign of Judah is a lion. Now, when Jupiter and Regulus are doing their kind of funky dance in the skies, they're in the constellation of Leo. And Leo is the lion. Wow, they're going to think some kings are up there. We're in Judah. We're in the lion. Look at what's going on here. The Magi were very well versed in the Jewish scriptures because during the Babylonian captivity, the Jews were taken to that part of the world and they would have introduced their culture and their belief system, and the Magi were very well read. Now we got to jump a little bit to the book of Revelation, because when John goes up into the heavens, he sees something in chapter 12. He describes a life and death drama being played out in the sky. He says, a woman giving birth to a son who would be a king. So as Jupiter and Regulus are dancing in Leo, another celestial sign is starting to come into the picture. The constellation that rises in the east right after Leo is Virgo or Virgin. So when Jupiter and Regulus meet for the first time, the Virgin rose with the sun behind her and there was a moon, a new moon at her feet. So symbolically, the Virgin is giving birth to a new moon. But we all know that life begins at conception. 9 months earlier, Jupiter would have encountered Venus. Venus is known as the mother planet. This conjunction would have been so close that with the naked eye, the two would have come together and would have lost their singular identity. And the accumulated light of the tomb was so bright that no one alive would have ever seen anything before in the sky like that. That's one where they'd be like, wow, what is going on? This is absolutely incredible. When this happens, that's when the Magi start their trek. They go west. They come across the desert on their way to get to Jerusalem. When they get there, as we heard in the scriptures, Herod says, go south. Go south down to Bethlehem to search for this newborn king. Well, in December of 2 BC, as the Magi were traveling south, Jupiter would have gone right over Bethlehem. Then due to retrograde motion, around December the 25th, it would have stopped for a few days and then continued on its way. So the heavens did proclaim the glory of God. There was no internet, so God said, I got the next best thing, the sky. Everyone's looking up into the sky anyway to know about their travel, to know about their planting. I'm going to talk to them in a way that they will understand. The Magi, non-Jews, got it and said, we need to go and search for this newborn king. And in doing so, they found him. So God is very clever. He wants to speak to us in many, many, many different ways. Sometimes he broadcasts the entire world, here it is, but other times he's going to talk to us one-on-one in a way that we can understand it. So God has given a beautiful sign to the entire world, the entire universe, through the stars, through his birth. But he's speaking to you today. So how is that so? How is God talking to you today? What little signs does he want to give you to say, yes, I came 2,000 years ago, but I want to come to you today.